The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chafav, discusses the status of a Mumer L'Hachis. What exactly is a Mumer L'Hachis? He's somewhere in between a Mumer L'Te'avon and a Mumer L'Avodah Zarah. Let me explain this a little bit further. A Mumer L'Te'avon is a person who essentially believes in all of the commandments of the Torah and believes in Schar V'Onesh, but can't control his appetite. He goes ahead and he eats treif or does some other aveira with full knowledge that he's going to get punishment in Olam Haba, and with full knowledge that punishment in Olam Haba is horribly painful. And the only reason he does that is because he somehow, in his imagination, the pleasure that he's going to get momentarily from eating the treif is greater and outweighs the suffering in the distant future, which he has difficulty imagining that he's going to receive in Olam Haba. That's a Mumer L'Te'avon. In contrast, the Mumer L'Avodah Zarah is a person who's thrown the entire value system of the Torah to the birds. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that Klal Yisrael originally only started serving Avodah Zarah during the period of Bayis Rishon in order as an excuse for them to be Matir Gilui Arayos. And the pshat in this Gemara is that as long as a person is Mishubad, subject to the value system of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's totally immoral and unethical to engage in acts of Gilui Arayos. In order for a person to feel justified and to soothe one's conscience about doing aveiros, it was necessary for them to come up with an alternate, a false theological structure. And then, within the bounds of that false theological structure, they were able to do whatever they wanted to do. So Avodah Zarah, essentially, is the creation of a false, alternate theological structure for the purposes of basically acting against the values of the Torah. And there's another, less pernicious form of Avodah Zarah, whose status I'm not 100% certain about, although it's very likely that I'll have the same din, which I don't want to discuss right now. In between a Mumer L'Te'avon and a Mumer L'Avodah Zarah, there's a Mumer L'Hachis. And what a Mumer L'Hachis is, it's a person to whom the description which Chazal applied to Esav is particularly apt. And that description is Makir es boiroi umiskavin limroid boi. Person who recognizes his creator and nevertheless intentionally rebels against him. The psychology of what can motivate a person to do this aside, this is the status of a Mumer L'Hachis. He does an aveira because he wants to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mumer L'Hachis. And why do I say that he's in between a Mumer L'Te'avin and a Mumer L'Avodah Zarah? Because on the one hand, he's motivated, or claims to be motivated, by ideological factors. He's not acting to satisfy his physical desires. He's acting out of an ideological conviction. In that sense, he's similar to a Mumer L'Avodah Zarah. Not only that, but a Mumer L'Avodah Zarah, by definition, is rebelling against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu by supporting, so to speak, an opponent, a contender, for the throne of Malchus Olam. Obviously a false contender, one who's not qualified to fulfill the position, indeed one which doesn't even exist. But in his mind, he's created that contender and he's supporting it. So he's rebelling against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mumer L'Avodah Zarah is rebelling, just like a Mumer L'Hachis is rebelling. On the other hand, Mumer L'Hachis also shares characteristics with Mumer L'Te'avin. First of all, just as a Mumer L'Te'avin has in his mind a clear value system, just that in practice, that value system is not implemented because he gives greater weight to his taivos. So too the Mumer Lahachis. His value system is not necessarily warped in theory. He acknowledges that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech Malchi Amlochim. He acknowledges that Torah is Emes Min HaShemayim, that all the actions that accord with the Torah are actions that are imbued with inherent value, and all actions which go against the Torah are actions which are evil. He just chooses to be evil. So in that sense, that his theory is relatively intact, the Mumer Lahachis is on the same page as the Mumer L'Te'avin. And similarly, because of the fact that the Mumer Lahachis has not actually accepted upon himself the Malchus, the Shibud, or the belief in any other deity or supreme power, so that sense also he's equivalent of a Mumer L'Te'avin. And based on this, we can understand a machlokas, both in Maseches Avodah Zarah and in Maseches Chulin. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah has a disagreement amongst Amiraim about whether the Mumer Lahachis ought to be classified together with the Mumer L'Te'avin or together with the Mumer L'Avodah Zarah. And based on what we've said, we can explain the argument very simply, that a Mumer Lahachis has two characteristics in common with the Mumer L'Te'avin. He has an intact value system, and he has not accepted upon himself even the belief in an alternate power. But he has two things in common also with the Mumer L'Avodah Zarah, namely, that he's motivated by ideological convictions, and he's set himself up in rebellion and opposition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question is, legabe the dinim that are being discussed in Maseches Avodah Zarah, morning. The question is, legabe those dinim, which of those four characteristics is the root cause, is the shayresh of those dinim? Is it the characteristics which he shares in common with Mumer L'Te'avin, or is it the characteristics that he shares in common with Mumer L'Avodah Zarah? That's the shayla. In our sugya also, when we're discussing whether a Mumer Lahachis is kosher, is capable of performing a Maisa Shechita, which is kosher, whether he's not capable of performing a Maisa Shechita, which is kosher. And putting it a bit further into context, so we know that there's a big machlok, as we showed him, about whether a Mumer L'Te'avin is allowed to do Shechita or not. Some Rishonim say yes, some Rishonim say no. Let's work for a second according to those Rishonim who say that yes, that he is able to be Payal a Kasher a Shechita as long as somebody's supervising him and making sure that he's actually doing it properly. So, let's, again, there are Rishonim who say that it doesn't work. Rishonim, Tosfos, according to the Beis Yosef, according to the Vilna Gaon, but the Shach and the Pri Chadash and Rabbi Kiva Eger both say that even according to Tosfos, a Mumer L'Te'avin is capable of performing a kasher shechita because at the end of the day he still is a mitzvah. He still is commanded to perform shechita, and anyone who's commanded to perform shechita is capable halachically of performing a ma'aseh shechita, a valid ma'aseh shechita. So again, we have the same polarization in our sugya as we have in Avodah Zarah. Just like in Avodah Zarah, Mumer L'Te'avin has a kula diktin, he's lenient, he's treated like a Jew in most respects. So too in our sugya, let's say Pri Chadash, Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Rambam, that a Mumer L'Te'avin is like a Jew in all respects, and his shechita is a valid shechita. On the other hand, a Mumer L'Avodah Zarah, we know, even though Rav Anan contends otherwise, Mumer L'Avodah Zarah is not considered like a Jew at all, he's considered like a Gentile, at least with regards to Shechita, and his Shechita is Pasul. The question is, where does Mumer Lahachis stand in this scale? Is he more similar to Mumer L'Te'avin, or is he more similar to Mumer Lahachis? Careful, there's a computer behind you. There's a computer behind you. Careful. So where does he stand on this scale. And it's a machlokes. Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that a mumar lahachis is like a mumar le te'avain, and therefore his shechita is kosher, just like the mumar le te'avain's shechita is kosher. And the rationale that they offer is because the mumar lahachis is a mitzvah as much as the mumar le te'avain is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, so therefore his shechita is kosher. Other Rishonim say they know that a mumar l'hachis, is like a mumar l'avodah zarah. He's rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore his shechita is pasul, just like the shechita of a mumar l'avodah zarah. And I think that this parallels very, very nicely the machlokes in Gemara avodah zarah. One final comment. Maseches Sanhedrin, we learned that there's two definitions of what it means to accept an avodah zarah as a god. Some Rishonim understand that accepting an avodah zarah as a god means that you simply believe that the Avodah Zarah has power. You don't actually have to be meshabed yourself to that Avodah Zarah. You don't have to declare your subservience and your servitude to that Avodah Zarah, but even the belief that an Avodah Zarah has power to kaviyachal, you know, do divine things is sufficient to classify a person as having accepted the Avodah Zarah as an Eloika, as a deity. Other Rishonim say, however, that belief alone is insufficient, that one needs to actually subjugate oneself to the Avodah Zarah in order to have this experience of Kabbalah Selikus, and that one who believes in the power of an idol but nevertheless refuses to subject oneself to that power and continue to subject himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not actually accepted the idol as his deity. And I believe that just as we have such a machlokas about what it means to be mekabel and Avodah Zarah as a deity, we may have a parallel machlokas about what it means to be mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a deity. Is it sufficient to simply believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's omnipotence? And a person who believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's omnipotence, even though he refuses to subjugate himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is still considered, in a significant sense, to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim? Or do we say that no, that just like Kabbalah's Eloikus of an Avodah Zarah cannot suffice with simply believing that Avodah Zarah has power, but requires subservience to the Avodah Zarah, so too Kabbalah's Oil Malchus Shemayim cannot suffice with simply believing in Hashem's omnipotence, but requires an actual subservience and subjugation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think it's a parallel machlokes to the machlokes Rishonim may exactly explain the status of Mumar Lahachis. Because on the one hand, the Mumar Lahachis has a clear theological structure. He believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's omnipotence. He believes in the Amitas HaTorah. Just for some crude psychological reason, he wants to rebel. So he believes. So in that sense, he has a Kabbalah's Oil Malchus Shamayim, a Kabbalah's Eloikos. But on the other hand, he wants to rebel. He refuses to subjugate himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, in that sense, he's more similar to Mumar L'Avodah Zarah. He doesn't have the complete Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. Perhaps depending on which facet of Kabbalah's Eloikus and Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim we emphasize, that will determine the status of whether the Mumar L'Hachis is like a Mumar L'Te'avin and Mumar L'Avodah Zarah. Because on the one hand, he believes in Hashem's omnipotence, just like the Mumar L'Te'avin believes in Hashem's omnipotence, but on the other hand, he refuses to subjugate himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like a Mumar L'Avodah Zarah, who subjugated himself instead to the rule of a false deity. This Mumar L'Hachis also, even without accepting a false deity, has nevertheless refused to subjugate himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.